one of the most important things that any Christian will want to know. You know, people go to church for various reasons. Many people are motivated by miracles. And some are motivated by chasing the devil away. They are very afraid the devil will kill them. Some are motivated by imaginary enemies all over the place. So they think that once you go to church, that you are safe from all those kind of things. But you know, the greatest thing for a Christian is to really know God. The most important thing is to know God. And that's what God said. He said, let no man glory in anything but that he knows me. Amen? So what we are studying, the life that God gave us to live, is a very important thing that the Christian must know. You know how to live this life, you get yourself out of so many encumbrances. And you get yourself into a lot of flourishing. You walk in victory. You walk in fullness of joy. You walk in you enjoy the manifest companionship of the Holy Spirit. You live a life that is totally out of this world. So it's important that we know this, because if we don't understand how to live this life, we'll always be disagreeing with God, and the fellowship will always be cutting like that. I didn't say you're not a child of God, but the fellowship will always be what? Cutting like that. And you'll be tripping yourself over and over without knowing it. Okay? So we're talking about walking in the light, part three. Today we're talking about transformed by the renewing of our mind. First John, I need the time now. First John 5:11. What did I say we're talking about? Transformed by renewing of our mind. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. When you read the Bible, read in between the lines. Pause and please read and understand and see what the Spirit of God is writing. Don't read and you don't know the significance of the word that God has used. It says, and this is the record. It is not just let's write. He said, this is the record that God had given to us. That statement is so heavy. He's saying, this is what God has written for you. This is God's testimony. This is what God is saying, recorded for you. So this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had what? Life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Why is God writing it? That we may know. Brethren, that we may what? Know. That's why God is sending this message. That you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, the issue of living the Christian life is a mystery to a lot of Christians. And we have seen a lot of things that happen in the Christendom, from the very bizarre to the very laissez-faire thing. We have seen a lot of things that people try to do to please God. Good intentioned, well-intentioned people. We've seen it, you know, churches, organizations give laws and rules so they regulate people, all in an attempt to please God. So they regulate people to make people do what God wants to do, wants them to do. So we've seen people teach Moses law. I mean, they will do it better than Moses himself. They will teach the law, teach it every time. Every time you come to church, it's about laws. Because they think that is what will straighten people out. And because they see a lot of things happening. Well-intentioned. They mean well. So right from the extreme of conservatism that teaches the law, and like they taught us that when you praise God, you don't dance. If you dance, that's sin, that's carnality. And we believed it. I believed it. And they told us that the only praise you can do is clap your hand. And if you clap your hand, you have to stay. They were trying to regulate us so that we please God. I mean, they meant well. I'm not trying to hit anybody, but I'm telling you what the experience I also had. So from that extreme end to the bizarre end of laissez-faire, where you can do whatever you like, and then everything that is in between, it's all out there. It's all out there. including physically restraining you. Have you heard that one? They physically restrain you to force you to do the will of God. I've heard that one. In fact, I heard that one recently too. Where they physically restrain somebody. So you must, this is the will of God, you must do it. These are believers. So the issue of living this Christian life is something that is a little bit confusing to a lot of people. What's the right way? How do I live this Christian life? How do I live a holy life? How do I live to please God? And sometimes our inadequacies throw a spanner into the whole thing. Because now you want to please God, all of a sudden you realize that you're really not pleasing God. At least not to the standard you expect. And all these things bring confusion. And so both the preachers and those being preached are like in a chessboard, pushing things, not being too sure how these things work. Praise the Lord. So the beginning of a successful life in Christianity is to understand how to live this life that pleases who? God. Paul said, the way I didn't know before, he said, I want to do good, but I found I'm not. He said, wretched man that I am. He said, how to do this, I didn't know. So the scripture we read tells us something. He says, God is giving us a testimony right into you and I so that we might have one information. So that you might know that you have what? Come on, talk to me. So that you might know that you have what? I didn't hear you. So that you might know that you have what? Come on, church. So that you might know that you have what? Come on, louder now. So that you might know that you have what? Eternal life. And continue to believe in the Son of God. God is saying, I want you to know this. Listen to me, church. The sacred message that Jesus left the church, the sacred message that the Holy Spirit came to preach through you and me is called the gospel. It's called the gospel. And you dare not tamper with the gospel. You love yourself, you don't tamper with the gospel. Is a sacred message. Paul said, I can't even preach it with oratory, lest I make the cross of Christ of no effect. He said, I dare not. It's not something you don't help the gospel. You don't help it. You don't have to improve on it. You don't have to add to it or blemish it so that it appeals to people. It doesn't. That thing God calls the gospel is the power of God. Just leave it like that. And that gospel has some components to it. He says, number one, that is to declare salvation from all bondages. Sin, the world, whatever it is, complete salvation, complete freedom. That's number one component of the gospel. Number two component is to declare forgiveness of sin and the stay of judgment and plague over people. And number three is to bring us into a place of divine favor. So we get things we don't merit, called favor. It brings you into a place where the favor of God is unleashed on your life. And number four, is to take our old life away and give us a new life. Brethren, there's the components of the gospel. That the scripture tells us that this is the power of God unto salvation, enough to transform anybody who believes it. Number one, to save us from all bondages. So there's declaration of freedom. Everybody say freedom. I said to my wife, I said, they're inviting me to their meeting in February. I said, that's going to be a freedom rally. That's what God gave me in my office. He said, call it a freedom rally. I want you to go there and declare freedom. That's what Jesus declared, I told you. He said, I came to declare freedom. Freedom to all everybody oppressed. That's the gospel. That's part of it. And number two, is to stay the judgment of God. He said, preach forgiveness in my name. Anybody that believes in me, his sins are forgiven. That's what. Come on, church. Are you having already before? He said, forgiveness shall be preached in my name. In my name, declare forgiveness of sins. The judgment of God is over for them. And then that brings you in a position of unmerited favor. So God is unleashing this favor on people who don't merit it. God says, that's to show you how good I am. That even I'm counting the sinner righteous. And then to give us eternal life. To take our old life away and give us the life of God. Somebody should be saying hallelujah there. This message cannot be compromised. This message cannot be altered. This message is not Ten Commandments. It's not what Moses preached. This is what Jesus brought us. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Moses didn't preach this. Because by the time Moses came, Jesus hadn't died. These things were not available. So we're going to focus on this aspect of life called eternal life. Everybody say again, eternal life. So God wants us to believe that we have eternal life. Why? Because if you don't know that you have it, you will not believe it. If you don't believe it, it will manifest. It will lie there dormant. It's there, but it will be dormant. And because you don't believe in it, because you don't know it's there, you are going to employ an alternative, which is what many people are doing. You are going to employ an alternative that doesn't work. It won't work. It will bring you a distance, but it will fall. It will fail you. Because if I come to you and I take this and I say to you, hey, I have this thing for you. Brother, this is life I gave you. Why do you think I gave you this life? Why do you think I gave him this life? So that he will live it. I didn't give him to make religion. I gave him a different life from the one he had before. I gave him this life. The reason I gave it to him is so that this will be his new life, so he will live it out. That's why I gave it to him. I didn't give it to him so he'll go to church and be making catechism with it. I gave it to him so that in practical life, this my life will manifest in his life. He didn't have it before. He didn't have it. I'm giving him my life. That's favor. That's what bringing you to that place of favor does. God unleashes what you can't get. The life of God is something no human being can get. But God gave it to us. Priceless. Priceless. What God gave us. His own life. And God said, I want you to know I gave you this. But if I don't know it, if I don't know it, it will be there. I don't know how to show you. It will be there. I will neglect it. And if I neglect it, guess what? I'll be trying some other thing. If that thing I'm trying will work, why did he give me this? He gave me this because nothing else will work. Are you following me here? If this thing I'm trying, say I'm trying to please God, if that is what will work, why did he give me this? So a lot of Christians live today without even the consciousness of the fact that they have eternal life. You sitting here looking at me, check yourself. If what I'm saying is not true. Because I was in my office and the Lord said to me, say, you people, he said, I gave you something, nobody's talking about it. And you people are preaching laws, Moses' law, that didn't work. He said, I told you in the Bible that what the law could not do. He said, if the law could not do it, why are you preaching it? It still can't do anything. He said, I gave the church eternal life. I gave it to them and nobody's teaching it and they don't know about it. And they're struggling to live a life that is useless to me. So because we neglect what we have been given to live by, we try these other ones. And the result is this. We start managing our character. We start managing ourselves. Start character management. Anybody can do character management. You don't have to be a Christian to manage your character. You don't have to. There's nothing fantastic about managing your character. Ordinary parents can train you. You manage your character. So we start managing our character. But see where the trouble is. The trouble there is that there are some inherent issues we have in life that character management cannot handle. Do you get what I'm saying? Anger. No matter how you manage your character, the thing comes, pull, overtakes you. You don't even know what it's like. There are inherent issues we have. Gossip. You can't control your mouth. Emotional hee-haws. And look, 10 years a Christian, 15 years a Christian, you are still doing that thing. It's not supposed to be there. Because the life they gave you doesn't have that. That's why they gave you this one that doesn't have it. But you neglected it and continue with the one that has it. And what you're trying to do is to manage it. So you come to church, you manage it. If you are before some people, you manage it. But people who live with you know who you are. Are you following my point? And it creates stress. It creates a lot of stress. Creates a lot of stress and disappointment. Because whereas you are making all this effort, you find yourself falling repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And believe you me, not even improving. In fact, some cases, getting worse. And you wonder. But you know, you will say it out. It becomes a bewilderment to you. You get frustrated. And then here comes somebody adding salt to his jury, giving you more laws of Moses. And you wonder, how much more can I take? But you're not telling anybody. But you know in your heart that you are frustrated. Am I saying the truth here? You know you are really frustrated. But you won't tell anybody. But you come to church, dress well. Cover it with dresses. Cover it with dancing. Cover it with hallelujah, praise the Lord. But underneath, there's a current you can't handle. You've been dealing with this thing, going nowhere. Praise the Lord. But God says, I'm writing you something to know, please, that there's a life I gave you. It's totally different. It's my life. And he says, I want you to believe that you have it. You know, some things that bring us confusion is, how can I have God's life? God's life. Some things look impossible. But let me help us a little bit. You see what God says? He said, I gave you this thing when you believed in my son. Is that right? Come on, is that right? He didn't say, I gave it to you when you did this, when you became better, did that. No. He said, I gave it to you when you believed in my son. For one reason, you cannot do anything for me to give it to you. The only reason that you have that from God is because Christ is the atoning sacrifice that brought you to a place of favor where God is blessing you with what you don't merit. The only reason that God is looking at you and giving you things is because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. That's not what that is. But I'm telling you, I was telling them yesterday at prayer meeting, I said, don't let the devil maneuver you where you think God is answering your prayer because of you. I said, no. The only reason a man and God has connection is because of the cross. If that blood was not shed, God will consume us. That's why the Bible says it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. The only reason God gave you eternal life, and not only eternal life, answer your prayer, do anything, is because there's an intervention by Jesus that came between you and destruction. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Because he intervened and became an intercessor, the go-between, and made peace by his blood. And brought you into a place of privilege to enjoy what otherwise it's impossible for you to have. How can a sinful man have the love of the life of God in him? He will die. But because of that intervention, because of that blood, because of that sacrifice, because of that atonement, the judgment of God is stayed. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And instead of plague and judgment, because now God said this is a propitiation, the atoning sacrifice. So here is my favor, you can now have it. Even though you are supposed to die, but I found an atonement for you. And you know the great, you know what the Lord told me after Sunday service? He said the blood of Jesus not only stopped death, but gave life. Praise the Lord. He said the blood of animals stopped plague, but those who died, they died. He said, but the blood of Jesus not only stopped it, but revived those who died. Brought them back to life. Amazing. Because that's the blood of God. Life is in it. So we have eternal life because of that atoning sacrifice. Because that blood brought us to where God is blessing us. Nyafu, nyafu. Without looking back. Without restraint. It is an outpouring. If you go to the Bible and find where the Holy Spirit is talking about what God is doing, it's always using the word pouring out. Pouring out. Pouring out. Somebody say amen to this. Pouring his spirit. Pouring his love. He said, I poured my love. Poured my life. Poured my spirit. Poured my blessing. Poured everything upon you. Because of that sacrifice on the cross. You know, the Pope said something. I don't know if you heard what Pope said. The Pope said something, and I believe I agreed with him. He said we should watch out for fraudsters who want to sell salvation. He said some people want to sell it too. He said, watch out for them. They are fraudulent people. It's like somebody gave you daily bread free to share, and you start selling it. What do you call that person? Ole. The Pope said, watch out for spiritual olies who are trying to sell God's favor. You can't buy it. The blood. The blood. Church, the blood. I bring you good news. The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. The cross. The moment it was done there, the hand of judgment was stayed. So God says, tell them, now you have eternal life. You have my life. Can we say amen to that? Amen. And he said, continue to believe this. Don't be moved away from the confidence you have in the cross, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be moved away. Don't let anybody come and bring you other conditions. Do you know why nobody comes to the Father except through Christ? Because you can't come except through the cross. If you come any other way, judgment will keep finishing. There's no other way except through that cross, through that blood. That's not. The Bible says we are drawn nigh by the blood. That's what brought us. Jesus said, nobody cometh to my Father except what? That's a fact, because it's only his sacrifice that makes it possible for us to come. If you remove that sacrifice, none of us will dare come. So we must continue to believe that. Tell your neighbor, continue to believe that. Because the devil will want to talk you out of it so that you don't believe that you have eternal life. So that you neglect what God gave you to, the life he gave you to live with. You neglect it. And once you neglect it, you are resorting back to the one that didn't work. And some unbelieving believers would like to talk you out of it. It's accepted. Look, this thing you are doing, you are not saved. You don't have eternal life. Oh my God. For God's sake, God says, tell them they have it. The reason they have it is because of the atoning sacrifice. So Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1 verse what? 23. But you must continue to believe this truth. I'm reading New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Everybody, come on. But you must continue to what? Let's start again. But you must what? Continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So stand, be assured. Don't lose the confidence you have in this message that God gave you, that you have eternal life. He said, continue to believe that you have eternal life. Because you may not look like it. You know, your life may be contradicting it. But God said, no, continue to believe. Because it was given to you based on what? Atoning sacrifice. Not based on what you do. You know, Peter knew that when he asked the lame man to stand and walk. When people were looking at him, like they were baffled. Man, this guy must be something. You know, that was an opportunity to say, I know. We have the anointing. If you have any problem, see me after the service. Let's see what I can do for you. That's what people do today. If God uses you to do something, listen to me, church. If God uses you to do something and you take the place of God, you become an agent of death. Quote me. You become an agent of what? You won't produce life. You start producing death. What you are going to produce is you are taking them away from God. That's death. Taking them away from God. Because now their faith is no more in God. Do you know when God used the snake to heal Israel? Later on, they converted that snake into another god. So they now began to... So what happened? They started dying. The same thing that healed them started killing them. And then the Rehoboam or something came and crushed the thing into pieces. Poured it away. That's what the church started doing. They bring relics of saints, relics of this, or names of people. They say he did miracle. He did miracle when he was here. So they lift them up now as object of worship. You know what is producing? Death. I'm telling you the truth. Producing death. So when God uses somebody to do something, for God's sake, don't worship him. Peter said, we are normal human beings. So why are you looking at us? It is not our goodness, and it is not our power. But God is glorifying the atonement. Jesus said to God, glorify me. He said, I've glorified you. I'll glorify you again. God has lifted him up because of his going to the cross, making himself nothing. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Peter is saying, it's not us. It's Jesus. We couldn't produce this. So we must continue to believe that we'll have what? And I'm hearing this side. Well, we'll have what? I didn't hear you. You have what? I want you to tell yourself, I have eternal life. Say it again, I have eternal life. So God wants us to believe this thing. Because if we don't believe it, number one, it won't work. It's like if you don't believe you're saved, you won't be saved. If you don't believe you're healed, you won't be healed. Is the believing that brings those things you don't see into practical reality. Because Jesus said, only then you will see. So that's why God said, tell them so they know it. And if they know it, they now believe it. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding what? All things by the word of his power. So you see this testimony that God gave? That's what he will use to uphold your character. That's what he will use to uphold you. Uphold your faith. Your faith stands because of the word of God you had. He will use it to fortify your faith. He will use it to uphold your faith. And the Bible says your faith is your victory. He will use it to cause you to stand. So that when temptations come, because you are standing on faith, God will come through for you. He will cause you to overcome. All that struggle trying to be holy and trouble, you find out that you really don't do much. It's God that does it for you. He uses his word to uphold you. He uses it to keep you. Because he said, if you trust in him, you will not be put to what? Shame. Uses it to uphold you. Upholding all things including you and me, by the word of what? His power. So God says, I want you to believe this. I want you to know that. Now let's go to see how it works in a little bit more details, how it works out. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19 reveals to us how this thing works. This eternal life we're talking about. How it works. Remember we said that we need to know that we have it and believe it. But then we need to really now know what it looks like. We need to know what it looks like. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible for me to live a life I don't know what it looks like? It's not possible. So I must know what it looks like. To believe it also includes knowing what it looks like so that I know what I'm believing. And then you must understand the power behind it. So Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. I'm reading New Living Translation. Are you following me thus far? Okay. When I think of all this, when I think of what? All this. I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. 15. The creator of everything in heaven and on earth. 16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will what? Empower you with the inner strength from his spirit. Where is that strength coming from? Let me tell us something. Let's stop there. Look up here. It's saying that the power that empowers, that powers your life is coming from that eternal life that God gave. Because remember, he said this life is in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So that eternal life you have has ability now. Life has ability. I mean, if you are dead, you don't have ability. Am I right? Come on, talk to me. Yeah. So that eternal life has what? Ability. It has ability. It has power. It has performance. He's saying this life you have, this eternal life you have, has a power in it. The power of the Spirit of God. Because it's the life of God. Okay. My life is my life. I can only do what my life can. But now we're talking about the life of God. How much can you do? Unlimited. That's why you say, I can do through who? Because that's the power that powers you. So he's saying, there is a power that powers you. And that's what we say, that for it is God at work in us to will and you see how this is unraveling gradually? That this life you have has ability in it. Let's read it again, verse 15. Verse 15, Ephesians 3, 15. The creator of everything in heaven and earth, 16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Did you hear the Bible say you are the temple of the... So where does the Holy Spirit live? So where is that strength coming from? From within. From within you. 17. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Who is doing this? the power of the Spirit of God and keep you strong. And 18, and may you have the power now to understand, as all God's people should, how, why, come on, read it with me, how, and what again? What again? How what? Go back to 18. Go back to 18. And may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. You see what the Spirit of God is saying? Every Christian should understand this. Every Christian should understand this. How? Why? How long? How high? And how deep his love is. Why? 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes. I'm not finished. We move to 20. Fullness of life and power that comes from who? From God. Now, let's talk about this power, this strength that we have, that gives us daily ability to do things. So remember that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So if you remove my life from you, if you remove my power from you, if you remove me from the scene, if you neglect me, you can do nothing. So now he gives us eternal life. We neglect it and we're trying to do something. It boils down to zero. That's what's causing all this frustration. Hebrews 13:9. Hebrews 13:9. So, do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Can we read the next one? Your strength comes what? Come on, read it aloud. Your strength comes from what? Come on, read it again. Your strength comes from what? Not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. That's what the church is. Your strength comes from what? God's grace. You know what that means? It's exactly what I've been saying. That we receive these blessings because of the sacrifice that brought us to a place where divine favor is being poured on us. So the strength we have is as a result of that grace, that pouring of blessing, that pouring of favor. That's what brought you that strength. That what gave you that strength. Because it came when you received eternal life. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said your strength comes from God's grace. That's where it came from. It didn't come from keeping rules and regulations. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I want you to see. Your strength comes from what? Let's read it again. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Because there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them going around. And that's why I said, resist these things. Continue to believe what I've told you. Continue to know that you have eternal life. If you believe it, you see it manifest to you. There's strength that comes with that. Don't listen to all these new ideas. Your strength does not come from all the laws you are keeping. And all the, that's not where your strength is coming from. It's coming from God's grace. And it is the grace of God that made this available to us. If you follow me, shout hallelujah. It's not for sale. Don't let fraudsters sell it to you. They don't have it. So we can say, like Psalm 27, verse 1. We can say, Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is what? My light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? Then let's read the next one. The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Man, I like. What translation is that? Yeah, I think we can read King James. Let's just read King James here. Yeah, King James brought something I like. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the what? Strength of my life. Of whom shall I?
You don't fear sin. You don't fear sin. That's what believing this thing does. That's why the Bible says, because you're under grace, sin shall have no dominion over you. Because there's a power that powers you. And that power will lie there dormant until you begin to believe it's there. You activate it by faith. You start it up by faith. Because he that believeth hath. That's why God said, please tell them to know that they have what? Eternal life. And with this comes strength that is attached to that life. Sin therefore shall have no dominion, for you are not under the law, because your strength does not come from rules, but you're under grace, for your strength comes from grace of God. So you can wake up in the morning and expect to live victoriously. Because it is your expectations that you will experience. If you don't expect to live victoriously, and every day you are wondering whether you make it or not make it, you will not make it. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so you end up being. Every time you sin, you're afraid of sin, you're afraid of fornication, you're afraid of this, you're afraid. Anything you're afraid of will defeat you. Don't even go there. You are defeated already before you start. You are whipped, and whipped neat. Because your faith is your victory. Where there's no faith, there is no victory. You can wake up in the morning and declare it, the Lord is my strength. Of whom shall I fear? He will cause me to overcome. That's the strength of the Lord in me. I have eternal life. I got this thing. Believe you me, you go out, you see it working. Without effort. That thing you have declared, that thing you have believed, you see the Spirit of God performing it. No effort. And what used to make you throw anger tantrum, this time won't throw, because you are now living the eternal life, not the other one. Sometimes you pinch yourself, say, is this because you are dead? You're really dead. You can't overcome the flesh with simple human discipline. It's not gonna work. It's a force you can't handle. That's why the Bible says that it is by the Spirit you do what you put to death all those things. It is this strength, it is this power that worketh in you. To will, to do. If you remove it, we're in trouble. Are you following my point? So it is not by power, it's not by might, it is by my Spirit. The more you know this, the more you believe this, the more your faith grows. The stronger, the more you experience victory, the more you see this thing working, the more you, if you fail, you rise up and say, no, 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 this is not the end of it. I know it's still working. God said, continue to believe it. Don't you say no. The devil come and say, well, now you see, you call yourself a Christian. I see, you call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a Christian, and you call yourself a Christian. And you say, yeah, devil. You won't put devil up, but you say, yeah. And then your depression sits. God says, no. Don't be moved away. Don't drift. Stay there. Continue to believe. Because I'm taking you from glory to glory. Keep believing this thing. Don't be shifted. Don't be moved from there. This is a fact. This is a truth. This is the testimony of God. You have eternal life. Stay there. There is strength there. There is the Spirit of God there. There is victory there. There is glory there. Stay there. You just started. You are learning this thing. Stay there. Are you following me? But this is not what we do. We try to bring human discipline. And before long, the arm of the flesh will what? Because you are not employing that spirit, that power of the Spirit. You're employing the arm of you know, there's something Pastor Victor preached here. That thing caught my eye. He said, only God can say I. He said, only God can say I will do. And that's a fact. You and I cannot say I would. We can only say if God, yes, which means we depend on that power of God.
Now, verses 18 to 19, in that place we read in Ephesians chapter 3. Am I communicating it? Verses 18 to 19. Brethren, let me tell you something. You are such a wonderful person until you hit real temptation. You know, I see all this pride that we exhibit because we think we are good. You haven't seen temptation. If you see temptation, you will know how much you depend on the power of God. If you really see them, you haven't seen temptation. That's why you are still too proud. You have not seen, you see nothing. If I will be tested, you're just a robber. When you see temptation, you will know that if God doesn't do this, you are finished. There are things people will do to you, you can't love them. You can't, it will be difficult. So you start trying to, you know, it won't work. But you rest in the arms of the Lord. You see yourself loving them without effort. Your flesh will struggle, but your spirit will overcome. Praise the Lord, somebody. Yeah. You want to speak evil of them. You pull back. Something is restraining you. You are constrained by something. You are being directed. You are being guided by something. Because you are yielding to that. You are willingly, you are making a choice not to go by your own discipline, but relying on what God has equipped you with. The eternal life he has given you. And the strength that he brings to you. And even when you fail, you come back to God and say, Lord, I still have that eternal life. I missed it here, but I still have that eternal life. And that Spirit of God is still working. And I know he will see me through again. So let's go and read. What verses? 18, 19. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. He says, the more you know the love of God, you will be made. You are not making yourself. You will be made. You will be made. You will be made. Everybody say, I will be made. The more you know the love of God, the more the Holy Spirit builds into your character that love of God. The more you know the love of God, the more the Spirit of God uses that revelation you have to build into your physical character that love of God. The word is what the Holy Spirit uses to build. If you don't know the love of God, there is nothing God has to build with. Simple. Nothing. The only people you can deceive are people who don't live with you. Those who live with you know that they know you very well. Those who walk with you understand you very well. But those of us here may not know. I'm telling you the truth. He said, all believers should know this. He said, they should know this love of God. They should know it. It's important that they know it so that they can now be brought into the fullness of the divine life and the strength that is in it. So that all you need to do is to start knowing it, seeking to know it, have a revelation of it, and the Spirit of God will begin to ingrain, engraft, empower and implant. What do you mean to kind of print something into somebody? Implant. What other word? We have said empower. Engraft. What other word? Inscribe. I'm looking for some teachers are here. Teachers, help us now. All of you went to elementary teachers college. What other word? Come on, let's talk. Impute. What? Impute? Does impute pass? How many of you think impute will pass? It's only two votes. What? Come on, give me more words, please. Huh? Impart! I think that's the key. That's the best of them all. To what? It's not in part, it's in part. The more you know it, the more the Spirit of God is what? Imparting it into your physical character. It's already in you in your spirit. But it's imparting it, bringing it into manifestation. It only comes by your knowing it. That's why the Bible says we are transformed by what? Renewal. There's not, it's not human struggle. It's not I'm going to be better. It's not I'm going to do better now. You're wasting your time. You can't do better. That's again, I and another that has been failing you before. Because you mean well, but it's been you've been flocking. Now you're still going back to the same. Why don't you come back to what God gave you, eternal life? So let's read it again, 18 and 19. And you may have 18. Is that 18? 18. And may you have the power to what? Understand. As all God's people what? Should. We should. How wide? How long? How high? How deep his love is? Why should we understand it? Verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete. You will be made complete. You will be made complete. You will be made complete with all the fullness of that life and power that comes from God. That's how it happens. That's why the knowledge of Jesus is the most important knowledge you should have. Because when you talk of knowing Jesus, he is love. God is love. Amen? You should know his love. That's his core character. Hebrews 13:9. Oh, we've read that one, right? Okay. Let me take you to 2 Peter 1:2. See the importance of knowing Christ and knowing his love, knowing that character, understanding what that eternal life is, looks like. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of who? God and Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Grace and peace be what? What does it mean multiplying grace? Is that you have more access to these privileges that the atonement brought us into. Some people are eating only one bakery when there is feast. Brethren, it's a serious issue. I'm not kidding you. It's a serious issue. You know how the Lord describes it? He says some people come like children who want to buy akara. They get one akara, they run away. Say there's a base in there. Just one, they run away. There is base in there. That can't, it's the Bible called it unsearchable riches. It's there. And the psalmist says, he maketh a table before me in the presence of what? We are not eating. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a rich man who threw a party. Favors. Abundant favors. We have not touched it. You pray and get one small ball of akara from God. I'm not kidding. We live in plenty and wash with cup. Shouldn't be. It's because we have not understood the power of grace, the atonement, the benefit it gives us. If we know that, we will boldly go take what is ours. And no devil will talk you out of it. Amen? So he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. He said, through this knowledge of Jesus, through grace and peace is multiplied. It's multiplied. The blessings are multiplied. If you know it, he says it brings you into the fullness of manifestations of this eternal life that you have. Brethren, you know this eternal life, nothing can overcome it. Because that's the light of God. That's the light that if it shines anywhere, darkness what? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled
face, beholding as in a glass. I've not done 17. Man, your software is so awesome now. Before I finish, the thing I changed. I think our brother came back from Lagos and touched it. Where are we now? 2 Corinthians 3:18. 17. For the 18. 18. Okay, 17. Yeah, I want to see 17. 17 is interesting because we're talking of freedom. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. I told you the gospel is about freedom. Brethren, let me tell you again. You are free. Oh. If you like, say amen. You are what?
Free.
Whatever the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. You are free. You are what?
Free.
I didn't hear you.
Free.
Come on, say it. I'm free.
I'm free.
For if the Son shall set you
free,
Sabbath freedom. So, 2 Corinthians, we're reading verse 18 now. But we all, 18. New King James Version. New King James Version. We are walking in love today. So let's include King James people. Now the Lord is this, 18. But we all, that's all of us, with unveiled face, that means unveiled face is that the covering, the ability to know God, we now have it. Our face is no more covered because we have the Spirit of God to who is given to us so we can know the things that are what? I remember Jesus said, I came so that we will have sight. So blindness is over. Sight has come. So our face is no more veiled. He said in Moses, the faces were veiled because they didn't have the Spirit of God at all. So now, unveiled face. We are now beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Do you know what the glory is? His character. The glorious character of God is love. For God is what? So he said, as we behold it, we are now being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he builds us with the word. He imparts us with the word. He transforms us. Transformation is not what men do. Transformation is what the Holy Spirit does. And without the word, he has nothing to use. Let me say it again. The word I told you at the beginning of the year is the testimony of Christ, is the truth about Jesus Christ. Without the word, he has nothing to use. He uses it as a building block to renew your mind, to teach you things, to show you how it is, and then to bring you to a point where you are able to make an informed choice that this is the way I should go. You know, since we started teaching this, some of you have gone to meet some people and make up. What led you there? Is the revelation that is what? Giving you. I'm building your understanding. I'm building your faith. I'm bringing you to a point where now the word becomes life. You put it into action. And now you are at that level of glory. By the grace of God, you go to the other level of what? Glory. So that's the way he uses this. In Acts 20, 32. Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You see, that word grace keeps showing up everywhere. The words of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. He said, keep bringing this word of grace. Your strength comes from his grace. The word of grace. The word of grace is not the teaching of Moses. It's the word of grace that teaches you about the atonement, about the favor of God that God has given us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the word of grace. It teaches you what God has equipped you with, what God has blessed you with, what God has done for you in Christ, what God is doing through Christ for you. That's the word of grace. See, that is what gives you your inheritance, shows you your inheritance, and enables you to go possess your possession.
So he said that is what builds you up. Now, building up is not physically building up. Building up is building up in your faith, building you up in love. You grow in grace, you grow in faith, you grow in love, you grow in knowledge, you grow in understanding. That's what the building up does. So that you are no more children that are being tossed up and down. You come to a place of maturity where you understand values of God. I was telling somebody, I said, do you know, you develop a point where you begin to understand the value in going to say to somebody, I'm sorry. If you are a baby Christian, you won't find it. You won't find the value in that. You will think it's, how can I say that? You diminish it because you are a baby. You don't know the glory of God yet. I've said it here. The glory of God is in humility. It is not in... God hid his glory so that only babes will see it. Those who are puffed up, they don't see it. You won't find the value of speaking the truth. You think telling a lie will cover me up. You won't find the value. Your value system will be messed up because you are a baby. When we're in the service here, and children are running about, their value system is not the same as yours. And then when they run around, what do we say? It's a small child. It doesn't know anything. So what do? We go and help him. Because it's a small child. And that's what I was saying yesterday. I said, there's nothing like living by the faith of God. Forget about that thing. It's not true. There's no Bible that says that. The just shall live by his faith. It's what Habakkuk said. And it's Habakkuk that all of them are quoting. Live by your faith. Faith of God. Forget about it. What really the scripture is saying, your faith should be like God's faith. The way God believes you to also what? And I don't have time to talk about that. I can show you scriptures that is what King James translators used. In Galatia, in so many places they're using that. But when you use Moffat translation, you see it being used in some other scriptures. And then you find, when you read it in context, you find it cannot be, has to be your faith that does that. For instance, you can't be saved except by your faith. You can't, if you can't be saved except by your faith, what else can you receive that is not by your faith? I want to know. Okay, I'm saved by the faith of God. Really? Are you kidding me here? What God does is that, see, baby Christians, they don't know anything. So God will come and what? Help do things for them, whether they know it or not. Is it not what we do with our children? They're running around, you go and grab him. In the middle of summer, he said, I want to eat. You give him rice. Right? Why? He says, he's a baby. He doesn't know. That's what God does. He's a father too. So all these spiritual babies who are looking for spiritual milk, Similac. Let me prove it to you. When you got saved newly, did you know any prayer you say God wants? As you progressed, it stopped. Am I telling lies? Why did it stop? God has, you are no more a baby. The Bible says, why are you supposed to be teachers? You still want to drink milk. God says, I want my children to grow up. Nobody wants his children remaining unstunted. They won't develop intellectually. You won't be happy. God says, no, 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 no. Much has been given to you, and much is now. So you see those children running around here. There's an age they will come to. If they do that, you are the father. You kept them behind and smack them. Said, come on, stop. You should know better by now. But when they were smaller, you give them smell like God does the same thing. It's not faith of God in it. It's just that to whom little is given, little is expected. So God comes and handles them like kids, heals them, do things for them, because they don't know anything. But watch it. If they don't develop their faith, they will come to a point where things will hit them. God won't talk to them again. You know what God said to Israel? He said, you are dying in this wilderness. You saw my miracles, you still can't believe me. All of you are dying here. And they all died. He said to Moses, I'm raising a new generation. And Moses said, God, don't you realize that if you finish them here, people will say, as if God didn't know. People will say, you brought them here and you are not. God said, all right, Moses, I hire you. Brethren, did they all die? All of them wiped out. All of them. What God said, Moses was telling God what God didn't know. See how God can. God said to Moses, okay, all right, I've had you. Go and possess your thing. They say they are giants. They are God said, all right. These people,
You saw all my miracles. I did that thing when you didn't know anything. I took you by the hand, like a baby. Did miracles for you. And now, you are provoking me. He said, you will never see my miracles again. Never. You're not going to see it again. And all died there. And God raised younger and gave them a new leader. And they went there. Except two people who believe God. And that is example for us. So if you are waiting, think faith of God will do something for you. Because you're a baby. It comes to a point. Believe you me. If you don't believe, nothing will happen. If you lie, be going from man of God to God will say, when you finish running around, go read the Bible. I want you to develop. I want you to grow. Grow in faith. Grow in love. Grow, 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 grow. Praise the Lord. Am I too hard on you? Let's take a look at what love looks like. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. What does love look like? Oh, my time is up. I'm sorry. Somebody should be reminding me. All right. Did you get anything? Sure? Praise the Lord. What do we have? What did God give us? And with it is what? Power. And the more you know it, the more you know the nature of it, the more the Spirit of God is producing that thing in you. Without effort, you see it what? Work. And your life will go from glory to glory. And when it happens, guess what? You are going to know that this is God at work in me. And then the glory will go to who? God. You will not share it with him because you know this is not you. Can we rise up and worship him for what he gave us?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.